Listeners have been emailing me about their great experiences when they visited a Tecovas store, the company renowned for upholding timeless traditions and delivering top-notch quality in every pair of cowboy boots. If you haven't experienced their exceptional craftsmanship firsthand, why wait any longer? Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have custom leather branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit Tecovas.com. That's Tecovas.com. They offer free shipping on all boots as well as free returns and exchanges and ship right to your door. Go to Tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today. If you're like me, getting back in shape is always a goal, but that's what it remains, a goal. That's why I'm excited about our new advertiser, FitBod. FitBod is a fitness app that tailors workouts to fit your life, your goals, your gear, and even your schedule. It's like having a personal trainer in your pocket. Whether you're a gym rat or just trying to get back in the groove like me, FitBod evolves with you, tweaking routines to push your limits and maximize your gains. And FitBod keeps things fun, mixing in different exercises, reps, supersets, and circuits. It's like a new challenge every time you work out. It's time to ditch the boring routines and kickstart your fitness journey. Add FitBod to your workout essentials. Join FitBod today to get your personalized workout plan. Get 25% off your subscription by trying the app for free at fitbod.me/Zabe. Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. That's fitbod.me/Zabe. Today on the Zabecast, do your golf dreams ever turn into nightmares you can't solve? An explanation for a dream I've had more than once. All that plus a special double professor bonus today. Kevin Brandt, a.k.a. KB from the game, and our friend Charge from the Guillotine Leagues. What do they have in common? Well, both are part-time professors. And boy, do they have stories to tell about these kids today. Your bonus, uncensored, extra 45 minutes of me is locked and loaded, so buckle up and let's go.
Here we go.
Wednesday, May 4, 2022. Thank you for downloading. So somebody tweeted about, has anyone else ever had this dream, ... where you're playing golf at a really nice club and you go to tee it up on the first tee and for whatever reason, you don't have space to swing or there's trees blocking your way or maybe you can't get the ball to stay on the tee. And I'm like, yes! Not the ball on the tee part, but the obstructed swing and or no way to hit the shot because there's like tree limbs and you're trying to tee it up and re-tee it. I've had dreams in which I've lined up to hit a shot off the tee. I put my tee in the ground. And I'm like, no, this one doesn't work. I can't. There's a tree right here. Why is that there? Okay, never mind. Just go over here. Okay, put it down. And then you're like, well, actually, from over here, I can't actually make a swing. Well, somebody sent me a link to a story about this. Golf Digest. These are some common golf-related nightmares, according to the internet, written by Luke Kerr Deneen. The first two, constricted space, obstructed swing. Luke Kerr Deneen says, this is my dream, the constricted space dream. And like I said, it's pretty common, he writes. I am quite claustrophobic, so that certainly explains some of it. By the way, I'm not claustrophobic. But according to the trusty dream analyze.blogspot.com website, dreams featuring a claustrophobic event can often symbolize fear of problems mounting and overwhelming the dreamer. Being confined or restricted or unable to escape can also symbolize the dreamer's inability to escape from circumstances out of their control. Obstructed swing, a variation of the above dream, but lots of golfers dream of being instructed instructed in some form. He meant to say obstructed. Funny that there's no proofreaders for these things. Oh, well. Hitting a wall on their backswing, for instance. or playing from an encroaching tree. Apparently, dream experts say that restricted movement signals conflict. You want to swing fearlessly and effortlessly, but you're just too scared. I don't know what it means, but I know I've had that dream more than once, and I'll have to keep my bedside notepad sharp to see whether or not it happens again. Speaking of golf nightmares, if you would like to join me for Bloody Horns 2022, it is on, baby. Saturday, July 23rd, just a couple days after we get done with Caddy Day 3 at Washington County in Wisconsin, we are going to be at the Bull in Sheboygan. It's an incredible event. I put the tweet on top of my timeline on Twitter. It's a little 30-second sizzle reel from last year's event. You'll see what it's all about. Basically, two-man scramble from the back of the back of the back tees. And, yeah, it's like the unscramble. Most corporate scrambles, including the charity scramble we do on Thursday at Caddy Day, they're kind of boring, you know? Hit driver, okay, wedge, all right, make the putt. Four people, and then you wait and wait and wait on the next tee. This is a you better golf your ass off, because just getting it to the fairway on some of these tees is going to be hard enough. So it's a fun time. We get good swag, and the winners will get a free steak dinner, but everyone gets something, and you can say, I survived the Bloody Horns. So go to bloodyhorns.com to sign up today. Bomani Jones has done it again, kids. His show on HBO, which is one of the lowest rated shows ever, has gotten renewed for a second season. Game Theory with Bomani Jones. The first season was only six episodes, so I guess that counts as a season. But Bobby Burak, writing for OutKick, has chronicled just how awful the show is in terms of ratings performance, that it got as low as 45,000 viewers in one particular episode. And they put it right after John Oliver's very highly rated show, Last Week Tonight, or whatever they call it. He basically sheds 80% of John Oliver's audience, and they're picking it up for another year. This is the thing. When TV executives plant a flag and they say, let's do this, and they invest a lot of the network's money into doing something, man, it's hard to admit failure. It's hard to admit, yeah, this really didn't work. Now, Burak argues that it's because they don't want to be called racist, the executives at HBO. Maybe to a certain extent. I think it's more just a generic, hey, they have a hard time admitting mistakes. Now, they canceled Bill Simmons' show for ratings that were four times as high, and it was dubbed basically a failure. So if you want to use that as a comp, then maybe there is a little bit of black celebrity privilege going on. But Bomani Jones is this guy that, you know, the media loves, and they keep hyping him, and yet the public has basically rejected him as a mass market appeal kind of guy. He's very niche, like really niche. Sort of like Katie Nolan. Katie Nolan got the push from the media, from bloggers, and everyone, isn't she great? And she kept getting chance after chance after chance. Didn't succeed in any of them. But hey, that's show business for you, all right? What are you going to do? Darren Revelle tweets that NBA ratings in the first round are up. The highest they've been first round ratings on television in almost 8 years, going back to 2014. And he sent a shot at one Clay Travis about this because, I guess last season when ratings were down, Clay Travis took a moment to dunk on it, saying his usual phrase, go woke, get broke. Now, I think Travis overstated it back then. I think the league was still coming out of its pandemic and bubble sort of hangover. But I also think that his argument is, well, they stopped pushing all the radical woke BLM agenda, and that's what turned off a significant portion of the audience. I don't know what's true, but ratings are back up for the NBA playoffs. Compelling playoffs so far. I love the fact there's new blood. I love the fact that the big market show ponies, Durant in New York and LeBron in LA are no longer in. I like the new look Splash Brothers with Golden State. I hate their uniforms, by the way. The blue uniforms that make them look like the Knicks. Oh my God, do I hate those. And I know that they're historically accurate, but they didn't wear them for game one. I hope they don't wear them again. They wore them a lot this year. Just terrible uniforms. Gambling news. Governor Janet Mills in Maine has signed a law legalizing sports betting in the state and giving the state's tribes the exclusive rights to conduct online wagering. The law was the result of negotiations between the Mills administration and the leaders of Maine's indigenous tribes, which comprise the Wabanaki Confederacy. The law will take effect in late July. So, lumberjacks, get ready to gamble. Of course, if they were just with my bookie, they'd already be gambling, because what you really need in an online sports book is not some compromise with the Wabanaki Confederacy. You need an app that is good in all 50 states. You need one that is solid, offers good lines, good odds on parlays, special promotions, you name it. And like I said, is an app that works, and an outfit like my bookie that when you win, they pay you, because that's the point of this. That's why I've been with MyBookie for over 5 years, long before these other guys came along, and I can personally vouch for them. It's what I use. It's what you should use as well. That's MyBookie.com. Have fun. Get some sweet action. Bet with your head and over it. And when you do, use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, so they know I sent you, and so you'll be eligible for special promotions. And lumberjacks, you too, in the state of Maine, can sign up at MyBookie.com. Anyone want to talk about the Roe v. Wade situation? Anyone? Bueller? I'm not seeing a lot of hands out there. Good. Because I don't really want to talk about it either. My thoughts on abortion and the laws regarding abortion and the Supreme Court decision in the original Roe v. Wade case are complicated. They are far from expert opinions. And it won't change anyone's opinion. If they were to go ahead with this, and I do have thoughts on the breach. I mean, that is egregious. It's wrong. It's terrible. But apparently this same thing happened when the original Roe v. Wade was ruled on back in 73. Somebody leaked this as well. Got to find the leaker. You got to punish the leaker big time. But it's not going to change much. There will probably be 14 to 16 states that I think they said that would move to outlaw abortion. And while you can say, well, that's terrible for the poor people in that state that can't get an abortion, honestly, even the poorest of the poor, how much is a Greyhound bus ticket to a state near enough to get an abortion? It's almost like legalized fireworks or gambling state by state. It won't change a whole lot. And by the way, a number of states that you think would maybe say we're going to make abortion illegal might actually not when it comes down to a voting issue. I just don't like that there's so many. I don't like that there. What I don't like is that there. I mean, I don't like abortion, but I'm conflicted on it because, you know, bringing a child into an abusive, desperately poor family where they are going to struggle right from the start, that also seems exceedingly cruel and wrong. But I don't like the fact that adoption in this country is so challenging. From what I know, and for those that have been down this road, they can fill me in via email, is that in America, it's hard to adopt because the laws are such that, you know, the biological mother can change her mind up to, like, I don't know how many years after she's given up her child for adoption. And then you're screwed as the adoptive parents. It's why many people go overseas to adopt children. And while there's certainly a lot of children that need to be adopted, babies that need to be adopted in other countries, you'd think we'd take care of our own first. I wish adoption in this country was far less challenging and easier to do. And that is about the sum total thoughts I have on Roe v. Wade. Well, thank God for that. Do you have an opinion on something else that's sports related, perhaps, Mr. Sports Guy? Yes, I do have an opinion on something sports related. Gary Player's son has been banned for life from the Masters. He admitted as such on a podcast. This was kind of well known. It's like, oh, you are in big trouble. A year ago, Lee Elder, the great Lee Elder, was being honored on the first tee at Augusta National, even though he never won the Masters. But he was being honored for his contribution to the game and, of course, being a trailblazer for minorities. And, of course, Gary Player has been a longtime honorary first tee starter. And his son, who's now grown and like 55 years old himself, was caddying for the Black Knight. And he pulled out a box of golf balls, a sleeve that nobody had really seen the brand before. And they're like a brand that Gary Player has money invested in. And he holds the box out and just leaves it out the whole time in a obvious product placement kind of a way. They said, what the hell is wrong with Gary Player's son, Wayne? Really? You're going to really hawk golf balls in this moment? Are you that desperate? He said that he has heard from the club that said, yeah, don't come back. And that he's been basically banned for life. Said that the product placement stunt was spur of the moment, not planned ahead of time, that he just sort of was like, hey, well, I'm getting out a ball from my dad to hit off the first tee. Just leave this box here. Just hold it right here in front of everybody so they can see it. And there's a lot of photographs taken of it. It's too bad because I really like Gary Player, but sometimes, man, it's like, pff, you are a whore for the money. Black Knight, slow it down.
You know, we're driven by the search for better. When it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't help you just hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites. This according to a recent Indeed survey. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Zabe. Just go to Indeed.com/Zabe right now and support the show by saying you heard about it right here on this podcast. Indeed.com/Zabe. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
All right, time now to join with a couple of professors. I had a great discussion with Charch about being a professor last week. And I told him, I said, you know, a lot of things you're telling me about kids today, KB has said as well. So I said, well, let's get the two kids together and have a chat. Okay.
Yo, I'm back. All right.
All right.
As unknown caller, it goes right to voicemail. But this time you called and your name came up, so I got it.
KB, say hi to Charch.
Charch, how are you doing?
Yo, good to talk to you, man.
Have you guys ever crossed paths?
I don't think so.
We met briefly. I think you were in town in Milwaukee and you popped into the studio once.
There you go. KB runs a League of Indifference in Fantasy, Charch.
I'm familiar with the League of Indifference. You're not allowed to make any moves, right?
Nobody
or show up for the draft, or you have to auto draft the whole thing.
Nobody knows who has what.
The whole thing. You do the League of Indifference. You can't make any changes. You get it half the time. You don't even look at your what the record is. And as a matter of fact, like Kuhn couldn't even wrap his head around it.
It's very antimatter. It's very black hole-ish. With that said, boys, stand by. All right, you guys may be wondering, why have I called this meeting? The answer is both UKB and UCharge are part-time, is that a fair way to say it, professors at universities?
Well, yeah, for me, my plan was to be part-time. Then I start doing it, and guess what? That's all I did. My whole life was either it was preparing for class, executing class, or grading the last class. That would turn my full-time job. I didn't sign up for this.
KB?
It's crazy, isn't it? The amount of hours that you put in, I had no idea. Now, Charge, you have one class?
One class twice a week, 75 minutes each class, Monday, Wednesday. 4790 sports communications.
All right, KB, okay, that's at the University of Minnesota. KB, what is your class?
I've got three classes a week, two at Marquette University and one at the University of Wisconsin in Milwaukee.
Oh.
And you spend most of your time. When I first started, I was like, I wasn't biased yet. I wasn't prejudiced. I wasn't, jaded. I had just went in with my eyes wide open and then spent the last 9 years trying to eliminate assignments in my course.
Right.
Wow.
I totally get this now.
Okay.
All
right, hold on, KB, for the listeners, you teach what courses at both Marquette and UWM? What are they?
It's basically writing. At UWM, it's called persuasive writing for media, but it's the same thing. I teach the exact same course.
Persuasive media and advertising. All right, yeah. Persuasive media for persuasive writing for media. Okay, and you've done it for 9 years.
It's copywriting.
Okay,
I've done it at Marquette. Yeah, about 12 years, somewhere around there.
Okay, all right. So,
So,
Charge, please repeat for me and for the podcast listeners what you told me. Repeat for KB what you told me last week when you said, man, these kids today, they want you to blank.
Yeah. So, I hate it when the old people go, kids today.
That's us. That's us.
You know, because they all do that. And that's what our parents said about us. And now we're saying about the kids today. But I'm telling you, there's some fundamental differences between the kids going to college today than when I went, which wasn't all that long ago, which one generation removed.
Yeah, it was a long time ago, but go ahead.
It's a generation ago. All right. That's just it's how I like to put it, because then you put the number one in it. It doesn't sound so long ago, one generation ago, as opposed to saying 25 years ago. Because then you sound absurdly old.
Right.
So, yes. Here's the single biggest, there's several differences. And I think you will appreciate this. The kids want to know exactly what they have to do to get an A. They want me to say, you do this, you do A, then you do B, then you C, then you E, F, G, H, I, and you will walk out of this with an A if you do those things.
To which
they want no ambiguity.
To which
whatsoever.
You say, KB, ding! Right?
I'm just sitting back here going, man, oh man, to hear a newbie come in, relative newbie chart, come in and say that to me, because I can get into, I have studied this for quite some time and trying, I'm in the same point where you are. If you tell them exactly what to do, they'll do it better than we ever could have. But if you give them two entirely unrelated ideas and make them find a way to pull them together and make it work, you're fucked.
So KB, are you saying is this a paint by the numbers generation that is now being taught?
Yeah, I said this the other day, and I asked them, and I'm constantly probing their mind for a variety of things. Number one, I'm saying, we're all in church, we're all in the media, right? So we're trying to find out what makes our audience tick. So I use my classes also as like this psychological testing ground where I'm studying them as much as they're studying the work. right? And I'm trying to learn about them. So I asked this question just the last week in a class, and I said, just out of curiosity, just how many of you, by show of hands, had teachers, whether you were in elementary school or high school, and let you take things over, do your assignments over until you got the grade you wanted? Pretty much every hand went up.
What?
And I went,
that's
what they do. Oh no, it, that is what's happening in elementary schools and high schools.
It's a pitch till a pitch till you win concept now in education.
Oh no. Oh, it is. No doubt it is.
Wow.
And you know, obviously I don't play that at all. And I say there's things that, you know, I say in class that when I talk about grading. In fact, I just had a lunch with a friend of mine who's going back into it, and I was kind of laughing, but he said, well, I had a grading scale. You'll love this, George.
All right. Hold on, KB. Could you shake your phone? It's full of water. Did you go swimming? I don't know what you're connecting on. Is there a house phone
we can connect with?
God damn, this cellular technology kills me these days. Okay, go ahead. I think it might be better now.
Well,
you're
the one who lives out in the middle of the forest.
Bro, it ain't.
Right. This is on you.
It ain't me. Charge, you better have my back on this.
Oh, no. If you're in your boonies in Virginia, this is on you for sure. We're all,
why is it on me?
Too long.
Me to you is solid, Charge. Me to you is solid.
Okay. The bad internet. We know how this goes.
All right, here
we go. We're regulars. Jesus, you can't charge him.
Right. Charge. I feel like I could reach out and touch you right there. You're just right next to me. So.
All right. Wait. So, hold on. Charge. Is KB solid coming to you?
No, he was KB was breaking up for me too a little bit, but not the whole time. Just
you're better,
in the last.
You're better now. Go ahead. Finish your point. Sorry.
Okay. All right. So I was out to lunch with a friend of mine who's getting back into it. And he said, well, here's what my grading scale was. He goes, I used to put it up and I go, A, B, C, D, F. A, you get an A, consider that you're advancing in my company. B, you might get a bonus. C, you're sitting in a cubicle. D, you're demoted. And F, you're fucking out of here. And that's the way. And I thought that was fantastic. But what I say to them, and I'm very pragmatic. And I say, listen, you want an A? Do you want an A right now? I go, I really don't care. I'll give you an A. Is that what you're here for? But, you know, hey, sure, put it down. Do whatever you want. But I said, the world is pass fail. So A, B, C, D, E, it doesn't matter because the world is pass fail. So what do you want? And I even go as far to say is that I would never hire a 4-point. I would never hire a 4-point.
Why?
So if that's what you're going for, why? Because it just told me that they didn't experience life.
Really? That they're too perfect.
Yeah.
They're going to need handholding in the business world of tell me exactly what to do. When in reality, Charge, what does the world value? Initiative above all else.
I got one kid out of my whole class that is the initiative kid. The kid that is trying to find new and different angles, that is bringing something different to the table, that is not just regurgitating back to me. And, you know, I started with 13 kids in the class. Then as the workload started to ramp up, three of them dropped in one weekend and I was down to 10. And the three that dropped all complained about my tough grading and the workload. And the next thing I know, I'm getting
like, welcome to my world.
Right.
Hello.
Next thing I know, I'm getting called into the office, and the adjunct, if you're a non-employee teacher, you're an adjunct. You're somebody who's made a living in the real world. You're an adjunct. The adjunct supervisor calls me into her office and she says, all right, you had three kids drop in one weekend. What's going on? I got to go talk to your class. So the next class, she kicks me out of class. She goes into the classroom she has a 20-minute discussion with the kids on my various failings, which were around the class is too hard and I'm grading
you
too
are
mean.
So fucked.
I'm too mean. And I'm like, I'm teaching seniors and I'm grading them on stuff like, you know, you're putting out a press release and it's filled with errors. You're humiliating the company you represent. And I'm being too tough on these kids.
Well,
oh, Jesus. So basically what the university is doing is they're encouraging students to complain more because yes. they know it'll get the teacher in trouble. How can you operate in such an environment?
It was, honest to God, it was humiliating. So she gets done with this conversation. I walk in class. I'm like, you guys sent me to the office. What the hell just happened here? And I had to change. They made me change my grading criteria for the kids. The school made me do it.
Really? And what were the mistakes? Oh, yes. Were they truly egregious mistakes where you're like, I got to give you a C on this? Were you giving Fs? Were you giving out Ds?
No, I was giving out A's, B's, and C's. And the funny thing is I could.
You got in trouble without flunking a single kid?
No, nobody. No, I did give out a couple of D's from people who earned D's and they dropped. So I don't know. But mostly it was A's, B's, and C's.
All right.
And it's like, KB,
get in there because you've been to this rodeo more than once.
Oh, you're killing me, Smalls. I love this. Let's see right here. Charge, you got to go to, maybe I'll do this right now. I'll go to your Rate My Professor site, which I didn't know existed.
I did not know that was a thing, but I'm not surprised.
Oh, don't show. Don't tell Charge it exists. It's going to wreck him.
Yeah, let's see. Here we go. Kevin Brandt was an extremely hard grader and brutal, to say the least. His majority of his responses went along the lines of "read it again." Yes or no. And I understand he wants his students to be self-sufficient, but I would not recommend him. Now, on the other hand, you get on the other side. He's one of the toughest yet best I've ever taken. He makes you work hard, but prepares you more for the advertising industry than any other professor. Don't expect his class to be easy, as he treats you as if you're already a professional.
Wow. Good. Okay, good.
Attaboy.
And that's Attaboy. What I do. I go, listen, you're grown up. I go, you guys are 21, 22 years old. And what I'm finding out is that it's an inherent flaw within our educational system and with parents, and the pressure that parents put on these kids for grades and getting A's, B's, and C's is insane.
Really?
It's almost unfair.
Did your parents, either one of you guys, lean on you about grades in college? 'Cause I know mine didn't. I don't think they even asked. I would tell them the grades at the end of the year, and as long as they're reasonable, they're like, fine. And I graduated with a 3.0 at UC Santa Barbara, the Harvard of the West. Good enough.
A lot of it is the parents are paying for it, so they're getting that thrown at them.
Oh. Hey, what am I paying for? This.
Yep.
Oh, Jesus. Yep. Yeah, but
yeah, they, it's, you know, it's... My parents rarely asked about my grades. It didn't give a rat's ass, but you know what? They didn't care about most of what was going on in my life. So, you know, this was no different.
No different.
They didn't know like, you know, who I was friends with, who I was dating. They didn't know any of that stuff.
Did you have
a criminal record?
Did you have free range parents? They let you just run around like a chicken, free range charge?
Yes, they did. Because, mostly just because they had their own lives. They were busy having their own life and, you know, whatever. You know, today's parents, you know, they're so protective and they're so much more in tune with what their kids are doing. I think to a fault, you know, I think a lot of times you're better off just having parents that just don't give a rat's ass and just let you do your thing, you know, take your lumps.
So you did good. Proud of you, son. All right. Good. Nice talk.
Nice talk. I mean,
that's kind of what you want. Nice talk. Good talk. It's, it is kind of, you know, it really opened my eyes and to the whole, how fucked up the whole educational system is. And the more I started thinking about it is that who am I to think that I am so smart that what I personally deem to be important is what I will share with you, where, you know what I mean? Where I'm the one who's determining your future. Whereas I kind of look at it and go, this is everything that I know. Make of it what you will, right? Because it's going to be up to you. And it's really, I have been charged. I've been in your shoes. And I said, I got to get to the bottom of this. And I think I have pinpointed what the problem is. I think I know. And if you do the math, it bears itself out. And it goes back to 2001 with No Child Left Behind.
Really?
So if you do the math at 2022, how old are those kids? 21.
Oh, 21, yeah. They're seniors. And, they're graduating seniors from college.
And it's right. And it's supposed to be, you know, it was supposed to close the gap in achievement, right? And what it did was, instead of that, it kowtowed to the lower students to make them feel better about themselves to get A's instead of earning the A's. And what it's like is, have you ever coached youth teams at all? Like, I coached youth hockey, and you had an A team, a B team, and a C team, right? Mm-hmm. And what these hockey leagues would do, these youth hockey programs would do, is they go, we're going to combine the B and C teams, you know, because we want to bring the C kids along. It never works. The B players play down. And it's the same thing here. And they expect you to give you everything. And I said, I'm teaching advertising. It's subjective. There are no answers.
Right. Well, luckily, the cost of college education has been plummeting as of late, and so it's very affordable. Oh, wait a minute. That's not the case. And wait until somebody forgives student loan debt. Won't that be fun, huh?
Well, you know, it's they've got no skin in the game, basically. And
Who's they?
Students. I mean, some of them do.
You don't think young men and women who have a shit ton of debt? That is the hardest debt. You can't declare bankruptcy on it. They don't have skin in the game. They got their nuts in the game.
They don't know it.
They got their nuts in a vice charge is what they've got. They have no idea.
They figured out, you know, when they start to figure it out is when they've been out of school 3-4 years, they've been making payments. The needle's not moving because they're paying off the interest and they're not making much money yet. It dawns. I think the dawning realization of what they've got themselves into hits at about 25, 26, 27. And they're like, oh boy, shit.
Yeah. Well,
what have I done?
If my own daughter, don't tell this to her. Just finished her sophomore year at Christopher Newport. If she said, you know what, Dad, I'm kind of done with this. I'd rather take out $60,000 in loans to start up a taco truck. I'd be like, hot damn, let's go.
Bring it on, baby. Like,
that'd
absolutely
be a better education than what you're getting now.
Absolutely. I've made almost that exact same case. Give me a B-plus student. I don't need to go send you to school. I think you could do more with that money investing in a franchise or something.
Right. Say to your kid, look, you can pay. Here's 120 grand. You can either go to school, study, Greek humanities or something worthless like that, or you can start a business. Now, submit your business plan, and I'll look over it. If I don't like it, I'll reject it. And we'll get one that I can go, okay, go for it, and I'll fund it, and we'll see what happens after a few years.
Yeah, I mean, I have to say this, that, you know, from an administration standpoint, Marquette's pretty supportive because they only want adjuncts, or not only want adjuncts, but there's a lot of adjuncts because they want kids to get a real world taste.
Okay, that's good.
And that's a pretty good philosophy. And but still, I'll give you a story. You'll love this. What I'm trying to do is I'm trying to teach them not what's in a book, but really, my class is a big life hack if you listen to what I'm telling you. Because it's like, you know, my job is to make you successful for the real world. And if no one hires an entry-level person and expects them to be a genius, right?
Right.
Nobody does. It's like, but if you have attention to detail, if you're professional, if you're buttoned up, and I'm hiring you, that says to me, I don't have to worry about that. So I can get down to, you know, teaching you what I need to teach you to be successful to work in my company. So I make them, I'm a stickler for format, forms, making stuff look professional, because I know that's right. What's going to get them ahead, right? Yeah. So I had this happen. This showed up on my eval, and you will love this. Two semesters ago, kid comes to me, hands in a document that is just all over the place. It is just an absolute mess, right? And he goes, well, why'd you grade me down on that? And I said, because you didn't do it the right way. And he goes, yeah, well, all the information's there. I don't understand what the big deal is. And I said, you didn't do it the right way. Okay. Yeah, but it's all there. And I said, listen, you go into your boss's office and you put this on his desk. He's going to take it and look at you and go, what the fuck is this? Okay. I go, that's what's going to happen. Fast forward a month and a half, I get my teacher evaluation. Teacher is very rude. Doesn't provide feedback, positive feedback on your assignment, just throws it back at you and says, what the fuck is this?
that's feedback.
But that's okay. But here's the problem. It's driving adjuncts out of the teaching profession because they're like, I don't fucking need this. Why am I kowtowing to this snot-nosed little 21-year-old who thinks that I owe them? You know,
yeah, I would have never had the balls to argue that with a professor. I would have said, okay,
I would have said,
okay, so you didn't like it this way, you know, steer me in the right direction. I'd like to do it the way that's correct. What did I do wrong? How can I make it better?
Well, yeah, I never thought
that's what you did. Challenge. That's what you did wrong. Well, you can, and I love it. I love it when students challenge me because I'm not infallible, and I love it. I love those discussions and going, okay. And I have,
you want them to challenge you on the substance of the material to say, well, I think yes. You know, you should write the copy in a passive voice because it would appeal more to the target demo. And you'd be like,
okay. You never write copy in a passive voice, but anyway.
Okay. Well, you know, whatever. I'd fuck your yeah, you know what? Hold on. What's that website? Rate my professor. KB, asshole. Don't take his class.
It's interesting.
All right. Hey, I want to exit on this.
You know what? And I use that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Let me just share one little thing. I'm sorry. I'm dominating. So I see these two reviews that just happened within the last 3 weeks. And these kids don't know how crafty we old guys are. So the following class, after I saw those, I went back into the classes. And as I gave my next lecture, I wove in the phrases from my trolls on Wait, Rate My Professor. And, so one of the students say, the questions that he asks are nonsense. So as I'm speaking and I'm going, okay, so this is what you have to look at. I go, you know what? You guys haven't been out in the business world. And so you might be looking at me and listening and go, what a bunch of nonsense these questions are. Blah, 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 blah. And then as soon as I did that, I could see one kid's eyes light up. And I go, fucker, you're the one who did it.
Got him. Got him. Okay.
Brilliant.
But that's what these kids need to learn. They need to learn how to read a room. They need to know if you're going in to pitch something, you're not looking for the guy who's going to buy it. You're looking for the guy that's going to kill it, right? Those are the things that's where you succeed.
Yeah.
Whatever. Fuck it.
So, Charge, do you think you're going to be in this for the long haul like KB has been? Can you see yourself a 9-year veteran down the road after one rodeo?
Well, and this is something I had wanted to do literally my entire life. When I was a student, I was already thinking about how I would be a different and better teacher than the teacher I had. You know, I had always wanted to do this. And what KB just said, this has driven me out. This experience as an adjunct makes me never want to do it again. It's not, and maybe some of it's on me because I made it too hard on myself and, you know, and there's I put a lot of work on myself, and doing it the first time is the hardest because I had to make the whole class from scratch, and I could do it easier and better the next time. But man, I don't know if I want to go through this again. It's just, you know, there's got to be something in it for both halves of this thing. Now I feel like I put way more into it than the students did. Okay. I don't know. All I don't think so.
So to be determined, I guess, would be the answer on whether or not you'll be back next year.
Charge, if I can give you a tip.
And please. And why now? My last class was yesterday.
No. That one kid that you were talking about that you like.
Yeah.
I mean, this is going to sound so corny, but that's why you do it. You do it for that one kid. And you have to learn how to compartmentalize it and put the other kids, okay, I know why you're here. I'll grade you, whatever. But you put your heart and soul into those two, three, four kids that you know are going to be good when they leave.
And you hope
that's
they,
the only way you can possibly survive.
And you hope they become the CEO.
They give you so much.
Yeah, the CEO of Creative Artists, and then gives you a cush job because you were his favorite teacher.
My favorite student. And just on, if I can leave this on a sports thing, my favorite student of all time, he was like, I looked at him, I go, you might be a total fuck up, but you might be successful. Marquette gets crushed by Robert Morris. He doesn't show up. I get a text on my phone, says, sorry, not going to make it to class. I just crushed Robert Morris on the money line.
And then, that's great.
All right. Well,
and
there.
Then shows up hammered drunk 10 minutes later. And I just said, get out of here. But I'm like, I like that kid.
All right. KB, Charge, hang up your tweed jackets, and we'll talk again soon. Thank you, guys.
I'm ripping the elbow patches off right now.
All right. See you, man. All right. Bye, boys.
Thanks.
Well, there you have it. Two of my colleagues trying to mold and lead the young men and women of our future. God help us all. I'm not here to paint with a broad brush. I bet there's a lot of bright kids that are going to do just fine. But it's a different environment. All right, that's it for me today. Thank you for downloading. Thank you for listening. Hope you enjoyed this slightly offbeat change of pace podcast. Have yourself a great Wednesday, everybody. Rate and review. Send me feedback if you want. Zabe@yahoo.com. And we will see you next time.